Many are inquiring, how am I to make the surrender of myself to God? You desire to give yourself to Him, but you are weak in moral power, in slavery to doubt, and controlled by the habits of your life of sin. Your promises and resolutions are like ropes of sand. You cannot control your thoughts, your impulses, your affections. The knowledge of your broken promises and forfeited pledges weakens your confidence in your own sincerity and causes you to feel that God cannot accept you. But you need not despair. What you need to understand is the true force of the will. This is the governing power in the nature of man, the power of decision or of choice. Everything depends on the right action of the will. The power of choice God has given to men. It is theirs to exercise. You cannot change your heart. You cannot of yourself give to God its affections. But you can choose to serve Him. You can give Him your will. He will then work in you to will and to do according to His good pleasure. Thus your whole nature will be brought under the control of the Spirit of Christ. Your affections will be centered upon Him. Your thoughts will be in harmony with Him. Desires for goodness and holiness are right as far as they go. But if you stop here, they will avail nothing. Many will be lost while hoping and desiring to be Christians. They do not come to the point of yielding the will to God. They do not now choose to serve Him. Through the right exercise of the will, an entire change may be made in your life. By yielding up the will to Christ, you ally yourself with the power that is above all principalities and powers. You will have strength from above to hold you steadfast. And thus, through constant surrender to God, you will be enabled to live the new life, even the life of faith. Steps to Christ, page 47, paragraphs 1 and 2, page 48, paragraph 1. God is good, and all the time. Yes, He is. Psalm 100, verse 5, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I repeat those words. His truth endureth to all generations, which means that as long as God exists, there will be truth. One day, error will cease. Can you say amen? Along with those who persist in living their lives by error. One day, error will cease, but truth will persist for all generations. Good evening, everyone. How are you? You look very well. We thank God for that. Thank Him for sparing our lives during this day. And I extend my welcome to those watching via YouTube and Facebook, wherever you are on this round globe. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for joining us. And may the words of life, not my words, the words of God found in His book, may the words of life have a transforming effect upon your lives to such a degree that your life becomes an inspiration to someone else. I thank God for the high honor of speaking for Him. And I have told Him I'll try my best as He enables me to speak, thus saith the Lord, and severely restrict the expression of my opinions, because my opinions cannot save. Our subject for tonight, eavesdropping on Enoch. What did I say? Eavesdropping on Enoch. Let's pray. Father in heaven, You're a good God. You're merciful. You're kind. You're just. You're generous. You're forgiving. You cast our sins into the depth of the sea. You're soft-hearted. You love to bless. And for you, punishment is a strange work. We thank you for being who you are. Forgive us for sinning against you today, Father. Forgive us, God. Because of the sacrifice of Christ, forgive us. We're about to listen to your word. And I ask you that, God, I don't command you. I ask you, please, grant us your spirit. Your son Jesus said in John 16:13, howbeit, when he, the spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Please, God, grant to us your spirit, that he may guide our weak minds into truth. I humble myself before you, Father. Use me, God. You have my permission 100%. Speak through me. Tell me what to say, when to say it, and how to say it. May the words you give me bless those listening, I pray. Bless every country represented by those listening. Bless particularly the host country of the United States. But let every leader in every country represented remember that righteousness exalteth a nation. And Father, for those listening who are not Seventh-day Adventists, I ask you, Father, out of your storehouse of goodness, pour out a special blessing upon them and their children. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. What's our subject? Eavesdropping on Enoch. Let us go to Matthew 23. We'll read from verse 29. Matthew 23, reading from verse 29. Matthew, the very first of the four Gospels. Matthew was a tax collector, so most likely he was a thief. But when he met Christ, he was so changed, he became the first writer of the first book of the New Testament, the Gospel of Matthew, written particularly to a Jewish audience. Matthew 23, reading from verse 29. If you found it, say amen. The Bible says, and I read from the King James Version of the Bible, "Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because ye build the temples of the prophets and garnish the sepulchres of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets." Those in the days of Christ were telling him, if we had lived in the Old Testament, we would not have killed the prophets as the Old Testament believers did. Wherefore be witnesses unto yourselves, verse 31, that ye are the children of them which killed the prophets. In other words, they were just like their fathers and mothers from the Old Testament. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers. How shall ye escape the damnation of hell? Now listen carefully to verse 34. Wherefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Christ said, when I'm gone, I will send you prophets, wise men, and scribes. Each of those was engaged in the work of communicating the word of God. The prophets, direct revelations, dreams, visions. The wise men, the gift of wisdom, and the scribes would study the scrolls and then write them out. Jesus said, wherefore behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Keep reading. Some of them ye shall kill and crucify. Some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city. Now listen carefully to his next few words. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. What does he mean? In other words, you will be held guilty before God for the death of people who lived before you were born. Because your mind is no different from the minds of those who actually killed the prophets. This is serious. That upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth. Now Jesus goes back to how far the shedding of righteous blood began. From the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zacharias, the son of Barachias, whom he slew between the temple and the altar. Jesus identifies Abel. as belonging to the groups which he describes in verse 34 as prophets, wise men, and scribes. Abel was one of the three. Now the Bible identifies Enoch as the first prophet. So we can conclude Abel was not a prophet. Most likely Abel was a wise man. There was no need for scribes in those days. Everything was in the mind. Nothing written. So Abel, not a prophet, most likely not a scribe, certainly a wise man, but all three spoke for God. Jesus is saying that from Abel down to Zacharias, the son of Barachias, all the righteous bloodshed and the blood that would be shed after he left would be charged to the scribes and Pharisees of his day, along with those who actually committed the murders. Our subject is eavesdropping on Enoch. Let us go back now to Genesis 5. Genesis 5. Our subject, eavesdropping on Enoch. Let me pray again. Dear God, as I continue, tighten your grip on my faculties, I pray, that it is not I speaking, but you. In Jesus' name, amen. In Genesis 5, we have 10 patriarchs. Adam, Seth, Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, and Noah, down towards the end of Genesis 29. Those names again, Adam, Seth, Enos, Cainan, Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, the father of Noah, and Noah, whose age is given in Genesis 9:29. Before them, well, not before them, before Noah, before Methuselah, before Jared, we had Abel. Abel spoke for God, but we don't know exactly what Abel said. Now, Ellen White writes in Patriarchs and Prophets, page 74, paragraph 1, Abel tried to show Cain his error and to convince him that the wrong was in him, not in God. Patriarchs and Prophets, page 74, paragraph 1, meaning that Abel literally spoke to God and he issued rebukes in the name of God to Cain. One reason, surely, why Cain killed him. But we don't have the transcript of what Abel said. We don't have the transcript of what Seth said or any of the others who spoke for God. Now, of the 10 patriarchs listed from Adam to Noah, we know clearly that Enoch preached and Noah preached. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, but spared Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. We know Noah preached. He's the 10th of the 10 patriarchs. We know Enoch preached because what he said is recorded in the Bible. While we do not know exactly what Noah said, but we know he was a preacher of righteousness, we can make some intelligent conclusions. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 25, and this shall be our righteousness. If we observe to do all these commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us, we know that the commandments express righteousness. Psalm 119, verse 172. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Romans 8, verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. We can draw that conclusion that Noah presented the righteous law of God, which was being broken. We can make that reasonable conclusion because we know from 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, that those in the days of Noah, their deeds were unlawful. If it's unlawful, it's contrary to God's law, the Ten Commandments. But let's look at what Enoch said exactly. Before I tell you what Enoch said, let me tell you this. Enoch and Adam lived together for 308 years. When Enoch was born, Adam was 622 years old. How long did Adam live? Quickly. 930. When Adam was 622 years old, Enoch was born. I want you to understand how ancient Enoch's message was. They lived contemporaneously or together for 308 years. In other words, the message of Enoch was preached in the days of Adam. What was it that Enoch said? Let us go to the second last book of the Bible, the book of Jude. We'll read verses 14 and 15. Our subject, eavesdropping on Enoch. Let's eavesdrop now as we listen to what Enoch preached. Remember, it is an ancient preaching, an ancient prophecy. Do you have Jude? Jude just has one chapter, verses 14, 15. When you found it, say amen. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly of all the ungodly deeds. Enoch is telling us in his prophecy that Christ would come back to execute judgment on false teachers and those who have spoken contrary to Christ himself as God, one equal with himself, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all the hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. What is Enoch prophesying about? Now this is prophecy. We tend to think of prophecy as Daniel and Revelation, that's it. And maybe an occasional look at Isaiah, Ezekiel, Zephaniah. Prophecy goes all the way back, even before Enoch. It goes to the Garden of Eden. But listen again to Enoch, to see what Enoch was actually talking about. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Question for you, when Jesus came the first time, did he bring 10,000 angels with him? Yes or no? No. He came as a baby in a manger. So Enoch is not referring to the first coming of Christ. If that's clear, say amen. I didn't hear you. If that's clear, say amen. All right. Listen to the words again. And when you read the Bible, as I told you last night, read it microscopically, as though you're looking through a microscope. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Of whom is Enoch speaking? Jesus. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again. Who is that? Jesus Christ. Enoch prophesied of the return of Jesus Christ. But listen to his words again. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all the ungodly deeds which ungodly sinners have committed, and all their hard speeches. Now, when will sinners confront the lies they have led? Not at the second coming of Christ. At the end of the 1,000 years. And I can't get into that. Listen to me carefully. Sinners will confront the lies they have led, the lost, at the end of the 1,000 years. So Enoch is referring not simply to the second coming of Christ, he is referring all the way also to the third coming of Christ, when judgment will be finally executed upon the wicked, including Satan. What I'm trying to tell you, because you look puzzled, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ is just about one of the oldest doctrines in the Bible. Right next to salvation through the death of Christ. Now, I told you earlier, the second coming is hinted at before Enoch preached. Let's go all the way to the Garden of Eden, Genesis 3. Let's read from verse 14. Genesis 3, Reading verse 14. Our subject, eavesdropping on Enoch. Listening to what he said. And we do that eavesdropping, or we did it in Jude, verses 14 and 15. We're now in Genesis 3. We shall read verse 14. Before I read, let me pray again. Holy Father, the carnal nature loves to exalt itself. Suppress mind, Father, that I may regard myself only as an unresisting instrument in your hand. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God has spoken to Adam, Genesis 3, 9 to 12. He has spoken to Eve, Genesis 3, verse 13. Now he speaks to the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. This is the first mention of the gospel. Now listen carefully. It shall bruise thy head. Finish the verse. And thou shalt bruise his heel. It shall bruise thy head, meaning the seed of the woman, Jesus Christ particularly. But remember, Christ is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. Go now to Romans 16. Romans 16. Our subject, eavesdropping on Enoch. I hope my friends on YouTube and Facebook are very, very attentive. God be with you as the Spirit teaches you His Word. I hope someone has already said, Lord, put your words in that man's mouth, whether in this building or via the internet. What book did I say? Romans. What chapter? 16. What verse? 20. Before we read that verse, listen to Genesis 3:15 again. Don't go there, just listen. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. This is Christ speaking. It shall bruise thy head. The seed will bruise the head of the serpent, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now listen to Romans 16:20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet. When? Shortly. Is shortly expressing past, present, or future? Future. In other words, soon. Listen again to Romans 16 verse 20 as Paul writes under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And the God of peace shall, future. In other words, the day is coming soon, says Paul, when the bruising of the serpent will be complete. Part of it was done on Calvary. When Christ died, he legally reclaimed the world from Satan. But Satan is still alive. Are you with me? Satan is still alive. So the bruising has a final phase. And in that final phase, we will have a part with Christ. Romans 16:20, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly. This is a direct quotation from Genesis 3:15. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What is this? Is the gospel message? Yes. But Paul is letting us know that the gospel message extends to not only the coming of Christ on the cross. It includes the second coming. It includes the third coming, when Satan's bruising will come to its ultimate end. What am I trying to say? Let me try again. The coming of Christ, along with the plan of salvation, is the earliest doctrine mentioned in the Bible explicitly. I said explicitly, because the doctrine of the state of the dead can be worked out even before that. But the coming of Christ to deal with Satan, to put an end to his work, is mentioned or hinted at in Genesis 3:15. Paul picks it up in Romans 16:20 to remind us its final phase will be when Christ comes. And that will take place at the end of the 1,000 years. The doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ is just about the oldest doctrine in the Bible and one of the most widely and frequently mentioned by Bible writers. Let us listen to Enoch again in Jude verse 14. And Enoch also the seventh from Adam. Why does Jude write the seventh from Adam? He's simply saying that in the very days when Adam lived, the doctrine of the second coming of Christ was being preached. This must be an important doctrine. To preach it that early. And Enoch also the second from Adam, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these saying, behold, the Lord cometh. My friends, Jesus Christ is coming. That's what Enoch preached while Adam was still alive. Why does Jesus have to come back? He already died. His blood cleanses our sins. Why does he have to come back? Let me preach two sermons in one. Go to John 14. It's 7:30. I promise to release you by before 8. I'll do everything in my power to keep that promise. What book did I say? What chapter? 14. We'll read from verse 1 and we will read microscopically. Let me pray again. Dear God, please, Father, speak through me. Let me vanish and let your voice be heard and seen, your power seen. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. John 14, reading from verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Why? He is basing that on the fact that I'm coming back. A belief in the second coming of Christ will give you some peace of mind. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he talks about the second coming. I am coming back for you. If you believe that, it will give you peace of mind in this troubling world. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. There's some who believe in God, not in Jesus. It doesn't work. They both come together. He that hateth me, hateth my Father also. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus loves to tell us what we need to know. And I like that about God. If it were not so, I would have told you. If I wanted one man to have three wives, I would have told you. If I wanted you to get drunk and lose control of your mind, I would have told you. If I wanted you to steal, I would have told you. If I wanted you to regard Wednesday as a Sabbath, I would have told you. Which means no one needs to be confused as to the essentials of salvation. If it were not so, I would have told you. And he tells us through this book. He continues, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Now I ask you to read microscopically. I hope you did. Do you understand what Christ is saying? Let me ask you this question. Is Christ with us right now? Yes or no? Yes. How? Come on, how? Through the Spirit and the Word. That's why he said, and I will pray the Father, John 14:16, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Jesus comes through the Spirit. The Spirit represents Christ. And so it is correct to say Christ is with us right now, but in the person of the Spirit and his word abiding in our hearts. But listen to the words of Jesus. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you where? Unto myself. Which means that is not yet a fact. We have not yet been received unto himself. That has not yet happened. Even though his blood has cleansed us from sin and we have conquered all sins, we are not yet unto himself. That where I am, there ye may be. We are not yet where Jesus is. Which means that the Holy Spirit representing Christ in us, it is powerful, but that's not the highest. The highest is when Christ himself will be with us, not in the person of the Holy Spirit, but he himself. Listen to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Let's go there with me. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. Our subject, eavesdropping on Enoch. What did Enoch say? He said that Christ is coming back with 10,000. The word 10,000 simply means all his saints. What book did I say? 1 Thessalonians. What chapter? 4. Reading what verse? 16. May the God of heaven and earth continue to speak through me. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen microscopically. For the Lord, what's the next word? Himself. Not the Holy Spirit. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds to do what? It's right in your Bible. To do what? To meet the Lord where? In the air. That's the future event. Jesus Christ must come back in order to finally set in place that oneness with him that does not require the Holy Spirit or any other means of representing him. He himself. It is not enough that Christ is represented by someone else. Even though that person is a perfect representation of Jesus Christ, the fact is, Jesus Christ still has human form. It's glorified, but still human. He cannot be everywhere at the same time. He must come back. I'll tell you something else. In a certain sense, there's still a barrier between us and God. I said in a certain sense. We come to God through Jesus. That was not the case before Adam sinned. Adam spoke to God face to face. Revelation tells us, and they shall see his face. Revelation 22 verse 4. That is not yet the case even for the victorious Christian. We cannot look directly at the face of God. Jesus will come back to make that possible. Let me say it again. You can conquer every sin in your life. You cannot look into God's face right now. Christ has to come back to establish the ultimate expression of intimacy between him and his people, between the Father and those who were saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. That ultimate intimacy is that you look right into the face of God. And Enoch, way back, preached that that day is coming. Question for you at 20 minutes to 8. Are you getting ready? Some people are already getting ready for Christmas. For Thanksgiving. What comes in September for, what's that thing called? Labor Day. They're already preparing for Halloween. And you can see it. Long before Christmas comes, decorations go up. Lights. Little nativity scenes. Stores are decorated. You know they are preparing for Christmas. Can it be seen in us? You know, you go to certain countries and someone gets a visa to come to the United States, that person's behavior changes. You can see the person lets everyone know accidentally, I got a visa. The behavior tells you he or she's headed out. Christ is coming. Do you understand me? More surely than tomorrow is Monday, Jesus Christ is coming. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2. Go there with me, please. Isaiah 59, reading verses 1 and 2, and I'm coming to the close. Our subject for tonight, eavesdropping on Enoch. And when we eavesdrop, what do we learn? That Christ is coming back to execute judgment on the wicked. And none of us in this building and via the internet must be numbered among the wicked. None of us must be caught by surprise when Jesus Christ comes. What book did I say? Isaiah, what chapter? 59, what verses 1 and 2? Let's pray. Father, as I refer to this passage, help me to explain it clearly, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Behold, the Lord's hand is not heavy, that it cannot, is not shortened, that it cannot save. Neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have done what? Separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear you. Now, Was Moses a servant of God? Yes or no? Did Moses talk to God closer than anyone else? Yes or no? Yes. So close, his face shone. He had to wear a veil. But God still said to him, no one can see my face and live. That included Moses. The Bible says, no man spoke face to face with God like Moses. Yet, it was not a literal face to face. He just happened to be closer than anybody else. God told Moses in Exodus 33, verse 20, there shall no man see my face and live. You know why that is? Because of sin. So even in the life of the person who has conquered sin by the blood of Christ, you still cannot look into the face of God. But the Bible promises that one day we shall see him how? Face to face. Christ must come back to put that plan, that reality, that tremendous honor into operation. Eavesdropping on whom? Enoch. What did Enoch say? Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all. Not just some. All. And to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which ungodly sinners have committed. This is the revealing of the life of wickedness people have led. That will happen at the end of the 1,000 years. Enoch was talking about it while Adam was alive. The doctrine of the second coming of Christ is central. Because if he does not come back, the plan of salvation is not complete. Get ready. Get ready. Notice what Enoch said. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. That all does not mean the righteous. And to convince all that are ungodly among them. The word convince means to convict, reprove. Of all that are ungodly among them, of all the ungodly deeds which ungodly sinners have committed. The only way to avoid being an ungodly sinner is to be a godly person. That is only possible through Christ. What am I asking you to do? Give your life to Christ. During the Passover, what did God tell Moses? When I see what? The blood. I'll pass over you. The blood represents the life of Christ. Listen to me carefully. In this building, YouTube, Facebook, give your life to Christ. How do I do that? Give him. It's not scientific. It's not difficult. You know, the Bible says the Lord is not willing that any should perish, which means he would love to save everyone. If that's the case, he has to make the gospel simple, because most people are not highly educated. Let me say it again a little more slowly. The Bible says God is not willing that anyone should perish. If that's the case, he must make the gospel simple. Why? Because most people are not highly educated. And the simple reality is, outside of Christ, biblically, on the authority of the Bible, outside of Christ, there is no salvation. And so I call upon you again, as those whom God loves right where you sit, give your life to Christ. It is an insurance policy that has only benefits, and the benefits are eternal. How do I give my life to Christ? Give it to him. So, Father, here's my life. Take it. Guide me. Direct me. And this has to be done every day. Christ triumphant. Page 215, paragraph 2. Genuine conversion is needed, not once in years, but daily. Let me tell you quickly why I say that. You must do this every day. How does the Bible represent death? Give me the one word. Sleep. In the Bible, death is represented by sleep. When the disciples said Lazarus is dead, what did Jesus say? He's sleeping. Every night you and I sleep. In a certain sense, every night we're what? Dead. What happens in the morning? We're awakened by God. You don't wake yourself. Let me make this as clear as a bell. You don't wake yourself. It is God that wakes us.
in the sense that he lets us live. You do not wake yourself. It isn't you that set in motion the laws that allow you to breathe unconsciously without making any decision to breathe. We breathe unconsciously during the night by the power of God. God raises us. So every morning we rise, that day is a mini lifetime. Because we'll die again that night. In that mini lifetime, recommit the life to Christ. Because God will not send you a text to tell you that you'll die tomorrow. It just happens. Christ is coming back. What did I just say? Yes, he is. How far back does that teaching go? To the Garden of Eden. Who's the first identified prophet to preach it? Enoch. While Adam was still alive. It must be serious now. Make preparations for that coming so that it does not come to you as a thief in the night. It makes no difference your age. Don't let a degree prevent you from getting ready. Don't let the pursuit of a husband or wife prevent you from getting ready. Don't let the pursuit of a career get in the way of getting ready for the return of Jesus Christ. It must take priority above everything else because that is what God wants for you. How many will say with me, Father, thank you for reminding me or for opening my eyes. As best as I can, dear God, I surrender my life to you. Direct me moment by moment. If you'll say that, may I see your hand? God bless you. Stand up with me. And those of you on Facebook, YouTube, do the same thing. You need not sit in the church building. Wherever you are, in your home, on the street, in your car, you're connecting with us. Make that decision. Give the life to Christ. There's a method of contact. Use it. Let us know what your decision is, how the message has touched you. Not that we may glory, but that God may receive the glory, because his word will not return unto him how? Void. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you, dear God, for the comforting doctrine of the second coming of Christ to take his people home. Ah, Father, it has been preached while Adam was still alive. It was hinted at before Adam left the garden. Jesus spoke about it several times. Paul speaks about it several times. Peter speaks about it. The gospel writers speak about it. It's in the Old Testament, Father. It's an important doctrine because without that coming, the overall plan of salvation will not come to its conclusion. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear God, let not the cares of this life get in the way of our readiness to meet our Savior. Bless all those who heard the word. If I misrepresented the word, Father, forgive me. If I was too harsh, forgive me. But you know my heart. Bless all those who heard, dear God. Let them decide right where they are to come back tomorrow night. Let them choose to come back and make that way for them. Again, a special blessing on all our guests, Father. Hear this humble prayer, dear God. Meet with us again tomorrow night in this service. Until then, keep us by your grace. Protect us through your angels. Guide us through your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Let God's people say, amen and amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. Free listening of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices and on our secure website. You may also order presentations online at AmericanChristianMinistries.org or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.